You're listening to the Mundy Maniacs Podcast.
Hey, everyone, it's episode number 48 of the Mundy Maniacs Podcast. We're slowly approaching 50, and here we are. Thank you for all joining us and listening. My name's Kevin, Busan Kevin and Mundy, and with me, as always, we have Kobe's Sarah. Kobe's.
And that really is a name.
And Akashi, Japan, and PJ, who is in Osaka, Japan. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey!
Are you...
Happy New Year's, everybody.
Yeah, happy New Year. Whee! This is my artificial party. No, I see you. Yes, the first episode of the new year. It is the 13th, Friday the 13th. We're recording this.
Ooh. Good luck.
Mm. That's why we had the power outage, I guess, maybe. Friday the 13th, what else do you expect?
Maybe.
Do you think it's due to the weather? Because we don't have any trouble up here.
Yeah, I have no idea. There was a message from the Kansai Power Company, and it was just very localized.
So for those of you who are wondering what the heck's going on, Sarah just lost her power about an hour ago, and it luckily came back on in time to do the recording, because we weren't sure if she was going to be able to make it. But she has, and it could potentially be superstition things. It could be bad luck. It could be Friday the 13th, or it just could be bad weather. I'm putting my money on the supernatural.
I'm putting my money on somebody ran into a power pole someplace.
You're right there, PJ. You look like you're having a technical issue.
I am. Are you hearing that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is. If it's a fan, it's the first time I've heard it like that.
I'm not hearing anything.
Well, it's gone away right now, but it was running really... I think it'll be a problem.
Oh, we'll see. And for all of you out there listening, this is how you podcast. So we're back here. It's the first episode of the new year, 2023. Happy New Year, everyone. We're sitting here looking down the barrel at a really big weekend of events. The Florida Mecca events are going on. There's... literally poop tons, and that's a measurement of Munsey players who are showing up to Florida. There's a lot of events this weekend. Double point card weekend, lots of points, and flats too, right? So a lot of points to be had. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that in a bit, but I think the main thing we're going to talk about is you guys both went to America. Yay!
Woohoo!
Oh.
Yeah.
And I didn't
that was the first time for me in 3.5 years.
Yeah.
So
hey,
that was fun.
So I think that's a lead off. So if it's your first time in 3.5 years, let's start with you, Sarah. Tell us about America, your trip there, first time in 3.5 years. And tell us about Munsey in America for you. Your first time, I believe.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
It is. It was the first time. I mean, I guess going to America was the first time ever that I've had so many problems taking off. We, our flight was supposedly delayed 6.5 hours.
Wow.
Luckily, United gave us really great service, and they switched us to another flight that left at the same time. But the whole time, all the way until we got to Oregon, we had to run every single flight. But hey, we got there, and then after that, then the horrible weather started in Oregon. But I guess in between at San Francisco Airport, I was able to use some blasts and blast most of the airports, all the Munsies there. That was really great. In hindsight, I should have saved it for the return trip, so I could have gotten all those points for Clan Wars. But I was just so excited to cap
right?
My first.
Yeah.
I was just like, I got a cap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, once we got to Oregon, we had some pretty crummy weather for a few days. ice on the road, so we couldn't leave. And then one day we lost the power because my family lives way out in the middle of nowhere. So we were 17 hours without power. But the fun thing was, is that where my family lives is a really super, super old map. And so it was kind of fun to go through and clean up some of those old Munsees from 2012 and 13.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And the great thing is it's amazing that, I guess, they were all there.
I only found one
that wasn't there.
Okay.
They were all there. And yeah, I think just think here, either people take them off, or I don't know what happens, or just because of, I don't know, life and things disappear. It just seems like they're not here as much as they were, you know, when I got back to America. I was really shocked. And they were in really great condition as well.
Okay. So I'm going to assume they were probably, not.
So the people
Hi, we got some lag going on here.
We got a lot of lag
on your end, Sarah. I think your internet's not the strongest. I'm just curious if you can hear this, Sarah. But I'm going to assume that those older, kind of old school, or those Munsees, the fiscal stickers that you found, I'm assuming those were ones from MHQ. They're probably not homemade ones if they've lasted that long.
I think we've lost her.
MHQ ones.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, sorry. Well, do continue because we seem to have some internet issues. I'll step back.
Although, as you continue, Sarah, why don't you turn off your camera?
Yeah,
that may help.
That would probably help. Yeah,
because we're looking at a hideous picture of you mid blank.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, mid blank. Yeah, that'll probably help.
That sounds better.
Okay, yeah. So for all of you out there, I'm wondering about some podcasting tips often.
How do I sound now, guys?
Look good to me. Sound good to me.
Yeah, so keep on going. So Sarah, tell us more about that. Cleaning up the map, playing there. Tell us more.
It was fun. So luckily, the boys would allow me to do a little bit of Munzeeing. Did I just leave?
No. We turned off our cameras to save bandwidth to make better sound. Yes.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. All right. Yeah. So the boys were usually in Japan. They're not very concerned. What's the word? They're not very interested in Munzeeing most of the time. But this time, they were really good sports about, I just want to go over there in the parking lot. There's two I want to grab. And so they were really good sports about it. And so usually it didn't take me very long. They're easy to find and they were labeled really nicely. I put it up on MHQ. I found a really old reseller. And so that kind of took us down a nice little history lesson road.
On the water cooler?
And learned about... on the water cooler and was able to learn about, you know, in the past there were more resellers.
Okay.
And so, because I had never seen that reseller before. So that was kind of interesting to see some different kinds of Munzees that we don't have here since we have such a new map. So I was able to kind of to clean up maybe about half the town.
Okay.
Next time we'll go in the summertime and I'll won't have weather issues like we did this time. So we'll be able to clean up the rest of the map, hopefully. Yeah.
And
hopefully I can get up to Portland because there's a very active community, Munzee community up in Portland and Vancouver and out to the east where I grew up. So I was just driving through as my sister's driving, I'm capping the whole way. And on the way back, I threw out a couple blasts and got myself some points, but definitely wanted to be able to do a lot more next time. So the weather wasn't very cooperative this time.
No, we were sitting here. we're sitting here in China watching all the, I was watching all the news. And I mean, that was just around the time when there was all the incredible, horrible weather all across America, snowstorms and cancellations all across North America. And we were wondering if you were going to get there and if PJ especially was going to get there since he left a day or two after you. We're like, will it happen? But it did happen. So that's very cool.
Yeah.
So PJ, you too went to America. So
yes, in fact, I did.
Tell us about the Munsey play you had. And for me, I'm more interested in this fantastic journey, the journey that you had. I've heard it was an eventful journey.
Well, which do you want to hear first?
Let's start with the eventful journey.
Okay.
Because, you know, we start at the beginning and how you got there.
Okay, well, let's just say it was probably the worst flight I think I've ever experienced in my life. The first leg was Osaka to Tokyo and then Tokyo to San Francisco. But the Pacific flight was horrendous. Terrible turbulence that lasted about 30 minutes after we took off and didn't let up until about an hour before we hit San Francisco.
Oh God.
And so bad so that there wasn't even food service. You had to, they literally passed the meals over hand over hand.
Oh wow.
And it was I'm a nervous flyer anyway, but I do it all the time. So, you know, I know what turbulence is and yada, yada.
Yeah.
But this was horrendous. We were falling and swerving, and I was literally gripping the seat in front of me. It was so bad that when I got to San Francisco, my stomach, back, and upper thighs were aching for days because they were just tensed up for about, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours of a 9-hour flight. We all expect a little bump going over the Pacific. Mm. We're used to that.
Yeah.
But this was constant, and it was these big, deep, lunges.
I know what you're talking about. Oh,
yeah. Like being in a roller coaster, like being on a carnival ride.
Without the assurance that you were coming back up.
Yeah.
So it was tense, and it calmed. There was an odd moment, maybe midway through, and about half an hour, it was really smooth. And so this woman comes up to me from, basically, I don't want to sound like an elitist because I'm not. Let me just put that out. There's four classes on these planes. There's economy, there's economy plus, there's something United now calls premium. And then there's their business first product. What are they? Polaris or whatever they call it. In any case, I'm in the premium, the economy plus.
Okay.
The second from the bottom, just because I need the leg room. I'm tall. Anyway, so I'm sitting there, and I'm very lucky that the row I'm in, there's three seats. I'm in the aisle, and there's no one sitting next to me or the window. I have the whole three seats. And, you know, it's just so bumpy the whole flight that I'm not enjoying it. But again, about halfway, it smooths out, and we all relax a little bit for about half an hour. And this woman comes up to me from the back of the plane, and she's got this cute little boy with her, maybe 4 years old, five, I don't know. And she just says, oh, that we're sitting in the middle, way in the back, and he'd really like to look out the window. Is it okay if we sat next to you for a bit? Well, I don't care. I'm not on the seats. You know, what do I mind? So I say, sure. And then she turns and says, okay, we'll be back. And I'm thinking, well, why will you be back? You're here right now. Well, she goes back, and she comes back up. She's got 1,000 bags with her.
Oh, no.
And I mean, literally, you know, she's got like 10 plastic bags and paper bags. And you know, you both have young children, although they're older than this boy. You remember, I'm sure, traveling with them.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
I know that I'm doing anything I can to help. I get up, they sit down. But they've got so much junk that literally their feet can't touch the floor.
Wow.
They're sitting, I wish you could see it, but they're sitting like with their feet up on the seat. Because the floor is full of junk. Oh, that's a call. I'll hang up there. Well, that's what you get with you get live podcasting.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. I don't care. But it's clearly that they're encamped for the whole flight. They're not going back.
Yeah, they just settled in.
And normally, probably the steward or stewardess would say, hey, that's not your class, go back. But because of the turbulence, the stewards and stewardesses weren't up except that little brief period, and they were gone. Because nobody was moving on the plane.
Okay, yeah.
And not that I mind that, but it's just that they were encroaching on, she was a decent-sized woman and taking up some of my space. And they had their lights on in what is a dark overnight flight, and walking the whole. So I was trying to. I figured this 30 minutes wouldn't last very long. I didn't know it'd be 30 minutes, but I wanted to try to fall asleep because I didn't want to be awake during the rest of the turbulence. But I couldn't sleep because they were just gabbing the whole way, and she was talking. The poor boy was trying to get sleep, but she needed attention. So she'd wake her own son every 2 minutes to talk and have these bright lights on. And you know the expression, what was it from, what's that movie with Tom Hanks, Life is Like a Box of Chocolates?
Yeah.
She had Valentine-sized chocolate boxes, 3 or 4 of them.
Oh, wow.
She proceeded to eat through for the rest of the flight. I did. So, and then when she'd done the little wrappers around the chocolate, you know what I mean? That you've got this chocolate box and you take out an individual piece, which has got a little cellophane wrapper around it or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Taking the chocolates out and throwing the cellophane just anywhere. And anyway, so this goes on the whole flight. So I get no sleep. And then the turbulence starts again. And the poor boy starts to drift off because, you know, when you're young enough, you don't even know danger. So, but she wakes him because she's terrified. So
that's so weird, man. That's so weird. As a parent, when my kids were young, when they went to sleep, I celebrated that moment and I was quiet because then I could finally sleep.
What you'd call an ideal parent, I believe. But in any case, this went on the whole flight and finally about an hour outside of San Francisco, it smooths out again and we land and everybody is relieved. They fall asleep as soon as we touch down.
Ah.
And everyone gets off the plane but them. And as I'm looking back, as I'm about to walk off the plane, 2 stewardesses are trying to wake them up. And I mean, there's so much junk around the seats that I couldn't find. It took me a while to find my wallet and my phone. You know how it's like, you're always making sure that you have everything when you get off a plane.
Yeah.
I don't know how they were going to do it because you couldn't find anything of theirs of value. It was just cluttered with garbage. So, I mean, they were characters and, you know, not bad people, but it's just that when you're on a terrible flight to begin with and you're tired and so it was exhausting.
I'm exhausted listening to it.
Well, it was quite the, it's funny, the flight back was totally opposite. I had no one sitting with me again, but nobody sat and wanted to sit next to me, bless them. It was smooth, very little turbulence. We had normal service, you know, it was fine. But just that flight to the States was just, it was, so when I got off, I was in a rotten mood. I mean, I cheered up as soon as I saw my nieces, but, you know, it was a bumpy flight. And I feel for those stewardesses. They were trying to wake, they were shaken and they didn't sleep for the 9 hours. So, they literally fell asleep as soon as we landed and it was like a bomb of nougat and chocolate went off in my row. Cause there was just wrappers everywhere.
Wow. Was that a Japanese family?
Wow.
No, it was, North American. I don't know if they were Canadian or they were American. They were flying on to somewhere else. Okay. That much I gleaned. I feel for the mom to be a single parent on a, you know, I'm not saying that there was another parent. I don't know. But I mean, to be on a, you know, flight alone, I feel for her, but that kid wanted to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she would not let him sleep because she was terrified. I was terrified. I understand her fears, but it just was a perfect storm of discomfort. Yeah, I mean, it was like safe. We all landed fine. I assume they got them off and on to their next flight or whatever it was. But it was exhausting. And that was just the beginning because I think I've told you the very next day I hit my head on some metal shelving.
Oh, God.
And lacerated my scalp so badly that I cut an artery.
Oh, geez.
Now, I didn't know that I cut an artery. Because if anyone's had a head wound, you know they bleed profusely. So I didn't want to do anything, but my brother insisted we go to an ER. And we did. And it was a good thing. After 5 hours of waiting, we got in. And
that's ridiculous.
And they said, oh, yeah, there's an artery that's been nicked, and that's why it won't stop bleeding. So it was a good thing that we went in. But unfortunately, while the 5 hours waiting in the ER, I got some kind of respiratory disease. I don't know if it was RSV or just a chest cold. I know it wasn't COVID because we were tested after and it wasn't. But it was horrible. And I had about 10 days of the worst head cold of my life. I think my problem was because in Japan we wear masks all the time. I haven't had any kind of cold or flu or virus in 4 years.
Mm.
And I was woefully unprepared. I was coughing up phlegm. I had headaches, backaches. So most of my trip was spent either in the ER or...
convalescing.
Convalescing from the cold, which I then passed on to my 90-some-year-old mother, my brother, and one of my two nieces. Everyone recovered and, thank God for small favors. As we've learned, some viruses are very, very serious. This wasn't, but what they say, the worst time with family is better than a good time alone. So I'm certainly glad that I went and I was glad that I spent time with my family, but it was, not the ideal, vacation setting. And it also impacted my Munzee play because, again, for half that time, I couldn't leave the house. And I was able to play the neighborhood. I'd go out at night, after the house was asleep, I'd go out and take a walk because I didn't want to be near other people. So I would just go out when nobody else was out. And I was able to hit my neighborhood and a lot of the things that you guys deployed last year for me. And listeners, too. Some listeners must have figured out that I had traveled again because there were new deploys as well. Thank you to everyone who did deploy. Oh. But I was happy that it wasn't too much because my ability to get out and get them was limited. But, I had a good time. Unlike Sarah, I found... Redwood City is a bit of an old map. It's and I found a lot of things that needed replacing. Okay. It looked like the city had recently redone all of their stop signs and poles and repainted everything. So a lot of things I could see were under the paint.
Okay, yeah.
I replaced where I could. An interesting trend, which I did want to bring up, and I don't know if it's just Redwood City, maybe our listeners can chime in. There were signs all over that area of the bay. Redwood City, San Carlos, and down, Menlo Park and such, that said illegal to add any stickers, signs, or advertisements to public city poles.
Oh.
It was all, I ignored it.
Yeah.
Because I figured what they're really after are people that are advertising for this or that. And I went and tried to be discreet, but this warning not to stick anything to stop signs and to crosswalk poles and basically any city pole said do not attach anything here, it will be a fine.
Okay.
I ignored it and did it and we'll see. I hope I'm okay.
I'm going to assume there's probably a lot of kind of more trendy businesses that use like really cool stickers and stuff as advertising.
Well, I think that's what they were thinking about. And you know, as long as a good Munsey player, I'm not sticking on the front of a reflective stop sign or yield sign.
You don't want to advertise. You want to be quite the opposite of that, actually.
Great. It's on the back or it's at the bottom. So I don't think it'll be an issue, but I wondered, since this was last year, I didn't see any of this. I don't know if it's new to the Bay Area or if maybe, I hope this is not a trend spreading around North America. Cause you know, I mean, those kinds of things are our bread and butter, right? We need the backside of stop signs and telephone poles and light poles.
Exactly. Well, it's good that you're healthy now, and it's good that I hope you never have a flight like that first one again. In many regards, everything from the turbulence to the mammoth amount of chocolate being chucked around.
And not one offer for me. I mean, you think she'd give me some chocolate?
Come on.
Seriously, you let her sit with you. Jeez.
Well, it could have been worse. She could have been wanting to talk to you the whole time.
That is true. You're right.
When she needed someone to look at her. Wow. Okay. Whoa. Okay. Well, there we go.
What I always find it's really, really nice with the boys is that with the three of us, we always end up taking up our own space. And so we don't have to, you know, deal with anybody else.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of really enjoy that part about traveling.
Also, I think it's good if you both have two children, so they've got a little bit of attention to each other.
Yes.
Whereas I understand she was afraid and she didn't know what to do, so she was. But I wanted to say to her, and I almost did, I'm going, let your boy sleep, because we're terrified, but he doesn't seem to even know anything's wrong.
You're right.
In any case, she'd literally shake him awake. Hey. Play this game. Hey, do this. And I'm going, what are you doing?
Why is she keeping him awake?
I think she was terrified. I'm traveling with other people. You're less frightened when you're with someone else, regardless of their age, just because you have someone to put your attention on. And so I get it, but
poor kid.
It was an interesting flight, to be sure.
Wow. Well, there we go. Cool. And then well, I guess I'll just chime in with me.
How was your winter vacation? You have any news?
Full of COVID goodness. a little bit of news, right? So I'm sure all of you listeners out there who are, if you watch the news, you probably heard in December about China dropping its zero COVID policy. There were huge protests popping up around the country. China didn't seem to know what to do with it. And Chinese people were as surprised as anyone else, regular people, when all of a sudden, literally we wake up one day and find out that all of the bullshit that we were having to deal with, daily tests, these insane codes, insane lockdowns, all of it just suddenly ended abruptly. And what then happened was it was miraculous how COVID ripped through the population. So zipping back to probably, I look at my calendar here, going back into December, I think zero COVID got dropped right near the beginning of the month. We were supposed to finish school on the 22nd, the 23rd. The 22nd of December, which was a Thursday. So back on the Monday before that, on the 12th, I had noticed that a lot of the kids in my class were coughing and hacking, but we just seasonal colds had been going around, and I actually had a pretty vicious cold. I'd just gotten over it the week before, and was feeling good. And I think it was by Friday, we started getting reports. Oh, I got reports that a couple of students that were COVID positive. And then just, we fell that weekend. Literally, I'm going to say by the 18th, the Sunday, between the Friday and the Sunday, about 80% of our staff had tested positive. And we were all masking, too. We were all masking. We had to wear masks on campus. I started feeling strange on the Friday. something was up. Started feeling, got a fever on the Saturday. Saturday night, I tested positive, isolated me in a room for a day. And on Sunday and by Monday, the whole family had symptoms and we just opened the doors and said, hey, let's all be together. We all had COVID and we got through it and we were fine for Christmas. But basically they estimate that, at one point the week leading up to Christmas, in the city of Shenzhen where I'm at, and it's similar all across China, that more than 90% of the population had COVID all at the same time.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So what was so bizarre was I was able to get out, shopping on Christmas Eve. I was negative by that point, COVID negative, and I felt fine. And it was a ghost town. It's like the city had shut down because there were no one to work in the shops. There was no one to work in the restaurants. There was like, they had no staff. Luckily I upgraded my wife to a new iPhone. So the Apple store, thank God, was open. And I was able to get to the Apple store and get her present on Christmas Eve. And we're all good for Christmas, but that's what happened. So I guess I've had COVID, that form. What did the doctor say? Congratulations, you got 6 months of immunity until a new variant comes along. But yeah, so we all had COVID, all four of us and everyone else I know. And what's been happening? Well, I've talked about in previous episodes that we are, you know, we're getting out of here. But I've been going through a very brutal recruitment season all fall, basically 7 days a week. I would say I was putting at least 4 to 5 to 6 hours a day night into looking for a new job. Wow. I applied to more than 40 schools. I had interviews. I had about 20 job interviews. And so we finally were offered a good job at a good school. And we are moving to Malaysia.
Yay.
This summer. Yeah. So we're really excited about that. So hear that, listeners. Kevin's moving to Malaysia, moving to an island called Penang, which is in the north part of the country. It's a resort island, beautiful little place. A lot of international schools on the island. It's the second biggest city in Malaysia, called Georgetown, which has a population of about 1 million. We're totally pumped, totally excited. Tons of nature there, amazing nature, a lot of neat history, British colonial history. It was a British colony in the early 1800s. I think it was a lot of coffee plantations and silver or something like that too was mined. So so we're pumped. So I'm going to be moving to Penang, Malaysia, but it's just like when we got here, it's a completely naked map. There's nothing there. I think there's like, geez, I want to say like 5 or 6 or 7, I don't know, Munzees on the whole island. There's one of those kind of like World Heritage ones right in the corner of Georgetown by this kind of old settlement area. I see Sarah put one on my future school, which is great. I've been putting a few around, a few Munzees. I need to put some more because, it's going to be that situation with a new map where when I get there, we'll have no Kuruzis. We'll be going through what we did here, rebuilding.
Yep.
We're totally pumped though. We're totally excited. I mean, one of the big stumbling blocks that I had here with trying to get people to play was that you had to use a VPN, the virtual private network. You had to use a VPN software to play the game. And VPNs are super unreliable here. I'm dealing with it right now. I'm struggling for a month now. I've barely been able to play any Munzee because my VPNs won't work because the Chinese government's blocking them, which means Munzee won't open. But of course, when I'm in Malaysia, it's a regular country like anywhere else. You don't have to worry about all that silliness and I'll be able to just play, build a map. And then I think I will have more luck in getting other people involved because I won't have that block of the VPN. Really stoked, really excited. Are you guys still there? Can't hear.
Yeah. I'm.
Okay. You're just wrapped with
me. I pulled up the map because I put that one on your schools just to have a marker so I can find it easier on the map when I wanted to drop stuff. And so then noticed that you put one on the Starbucks already.
Yeah, sorry. There was a Starbucks by my school. So I put one there.
Hey, Kevin, don't take her space.
I'm sorry.
That's my Starbucks. That's okay. I'm just going to put Starbucks 2.0.
Okay. So for those of you lovely listeners out there, I will share some more information as it's moving forward, some permalinks and stuff, and maybe some people can help build a few things up. So I'll put some things around and we'll see how it goes. We're totally excited. We're really happy to get out of here. We've got complete China fatigue, and for lots of reasons, we're very excited to leave, and we'll be going through the stressful process of downsizing our apartment, downsizing all of our stuff here, and tying up all the loose ends, and hiring a moving company and shipping stuff. And then we'll be coming to Japan for most of the month of June. And then we'll be staying in Osaka we'll be getting ourselves an Airbnb, and then we'll be heading to Canada for probably a couple of weeks. To be honest, we don't want to put people out. We might stay with my brother for a week or two, and that'll really be kind of it. We don't have the time, and my wife's got to do banking stuff and tie up business things, but driver's license to this and immigration that and stuff like that in Japan. In Canada, we'll go and see my mom and hang out with my brother and stuff like that. And I also plan to put stuff on the Munsee map in Cornwall, Ontario, where my brother lives. I'm looking forward to maybe trying to get him out to play and maybe just like going out and putting some physicals around and showing him a bit of the game. And just building that virtual map of Penang, Malaysia from afar, and then getting there and teaching and new school, new grade. I'm teaching upper primary. I'm teaching bigger kids now, and new start. We're all excited. Yeah, we're all really excited.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. So it'll be surreal to leave, and it's a good thing. So that's what's up with me. A lot of different things. So finally got to say that I joined the people who got COVID. We all got it. At least one of the positive things we looked at is we all got it right at the same time. So it wasn't like I recovered and then my son got it. And then we had to wait and like just all this like quarantining stuff. Like it was just literally, all the restrictions had just been dropped. So we actually could just be like people everywhere else in the world deal with it. You just take the honor system of being a good human and isolating while you're contagious and getting medicine from the doctor, the pharmacy and getting through it. But yeah. So there we go. And again, for those of you guys listening, I'll put this on the podcast page, but I'll put a link to, even I didn't know where Penang was. I'm like, what's that? And then I realized that like so many of my coworkers who are pretty seasoned travelers and international livers. I don't know. That sounds so not the organ, but people who live internationally. Expats. They're giant organs that clean your blood. They are all like, you haven't been to Penang? I'm like, no, I haven't. But again, it's looking forward to it. We've got monkeys on my campus, my future campus. There's monkeys all over the place on their Instagram feed. I've been watching all these like monkeys. I'll be like tapping on the windows. It's like kids are in class and stuff.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's going to be insane. But yeah,
that's so awesome.
So again, a new map, and we'll be able to travel into Kuala Lumpur sometimes on the weekends. There's not much in Kuala Lumpur either, but that's the main city, and as they call it, KL. It's known as KL to everyone. So when times we're going in there, it'll be fun to drop some Munzees and plant some things there. So. And that is all. That's all she wrote. So for me, I'm just hoping my dang VPN will work this weekend and I can actually get outside and cap some POIs. That's my big thing that I'm hoping to be able to do. But I've deployed a ton of cards at events this weekend for the Double Points weekend. Yep. And I've deployed quite a few at the Mecca ones that Dale and Barb are running. Thanks for doing that, Dale and Barb. Cleaning out my inventory. I didn't realize how many cards I had far back in my inventory. So it's good to get those out. And hopefully that's how I'll be getting, I think, the bulk of my points over the next couple of weeks, just because my VPNs aren't working. Yeah. So what about you guys? Any plans over the weekend or the next week or two for Munzee?
Well, like you, I put out a lot. Well, not a lot. I try to limit 2 or 3 cards per large event, and then 1 card for the smaller.
Yeah.
But unlike you, I don't have a large backlog. I've been I had to get a bunch of cards. But you know, points is points, and I want those points. Otherwise, I don't know. I'd like to get just back out, and you know, my semester is coming to an end in the next couple of weeks. And I'd like to start playing more actively again. Right now, you know, when I'm at work, I have so littered my neighborhood there. I can't deploy here. There's not a square inch of space for physicals, and virtuals are pretty full too. But I'll get out farther afield and in the Kansai and grow the map. You know, I do love to just find virgin territory that's just got nothing.
Yeah,
as they say, and start planning. Even if I don't think anyone's going to come for a while, it doesn't matter. I just like the idea of planting something. Mm. How about you, Sarah? What's up for you? Sarah, you there?
You there, Sarah?
Yeah, I'm just getting back into life, right? And work and...
Oh, looks like Sarah's just dropped.
We just lost her. For listeners, she's just disappeared from the Zoom room.
Yeah, so she's just dropped out of the Zoom room. So she may appear in a moment and ask to join back, but she's been having connectivity problems the whole evening. Aside from losing power earlier, she just, as you can see, she kind of, what do they say, Cyloning with her voice. But yeah, I know Sarah was talking. I think Sarah is basically just getting back to the roof, just getting back to work, right? After having a holiday, which is always hard for us. You know, it's interesting you mentioned PJ about, like, you know, you like to build a map. And that's a cool thing about what I'm looking at, the island of Penang in Malaysia, the city of Georgetown. It's kind of a specific corner where I'm going to be at, I think, more than anything, living, and where my school is just kind of not in the city proper, but a little bit outside.
Are you up in that area? What was it? Batu Feringhi? Is that
that's it? Yes, exactly. Batu Feringhi. That's where my school is.
I'm looking at the Munzee map now.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to be. So my school is there. And, you know, the admin from the school said all the teachers live in that area because traffic is really bad in the mornings. And if I lived kind of further into the city, there's good chances I'll be late for work and the kids will be late for school. So we don't want that to happen. I was also told it's probably going to be best for me to get a car. So, you know, that'll be interesting. I'll get my international driver's license in Canada when I'm there in the summer from the Canadian Auto Association, the CAA. And that might happen, but I'm looking at that map and it's just cool. I need to drop them. I'm going to do that later tonight. I'll just sit there and sip on a soda water and figure out some places to drop some more Munzees, like little by little. That'll be cool. And I guess, I don't know if Kai will be interested. I'm sure he won't. He'll be like, yeah, Dad, just use my account. I'll probably drop some from his account for me to cap. There'll be a lot of stuff for him to cap there. And then, as it grows and grows, hopefully, I'll stockpile this summer, physicals, hopefully come back with, several hundred physicals that I can start to deploy and hopefully again, recruit some people and hand out Munzees to them
We're getting a message from Sarah saying she's unable to log back in.
Okay. All right. I'm not seeing her at all. She's not trying to join the room. So
no, she can't even. She messaged me on WhatsApp.
Okay.
She cannot. She said the internet's not working at all. So she's doing
okay. So she's piecing out in a way then. As they say. Okay. Her internet stopped, everyone. So Sarah, that's Sarah. We'll get her back on. Not this week, not for this episode, but you know, she was on for quite a while. We'll wrap things up, PJ. We don't want to keep it's after 9 your way, and I'm going to walk home in the rain from school where I'm at right now recording. And this'll go up tomorrow. Absolutely. I'm actually gonna edit this tonight And it's Friday the 13th. And I'll edit it tonight and export it. And then I'll upload it first thing in the morning, because that takes some time. The editing part doesn't take long, but the uploading part does. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I use Anchor as a platform, and it goes up in Anchor and Spotify like really fast. But Apple Podcasts, that it won't show up in that until like several hours later. It gets listed, and I think the majority of people do listen in Apple Podcasts, which is ironically enough, Kai's podcast. My son, everyone listening, my son has a World War II history podcast. The majority of listeners to that listen in Amazon Music. Which is interesting.
Really?
Yeah. I was showing him the analytics, and we're like, oh, that's very interesting. The majority of people use an iOS device and Amazon Music. Huh. Oh, well, there we go. Anything else, PJ, you want to add, or shall we wrap things up?
I think we should wrap things up. Welcome, everybody, to the new year. And
absolutely.
You know, thank our listeners for staying tuned, or however you stay tuned.
Stay tuning to liver ex people who are international livers. yes, as opposed to the international kidneys. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Those of you who've been with us from the beginning, thank you so much. We're approaching 50 episodes. We should put them out more often, but we don't. But you know, sorry, shame on us. But we're glad you're listening. And there's more and more of you listening, which is great. Each episode, you know, I'll share some of those stats with you and Sarah, but we've got a constantly growing listenership, which is great. And, of course, remember to share the podcast with your Munsey friends. Make sure other Munsey players are listening. The more, the better. We realize that we are still the only Munsey podcast in town. Which, you know, that's cool. That's cool. I guess that's it for information to how to contact me and Sarah and PJ. Look below in the show notes, the information at the bottom of the podcast, and all the links will be there and all of that stuff. And I guess we'll be back when we get back. I don't know when that will be. Maybe a couple of weeks from now. Right, PJ?
Yep.
Yep. All right. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, and Munsey on.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.